The text today is from Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Please listen carefully. This is God's word. Then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. It's God's word, Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. God and His truth are on trial. He is being judged by the world. Some who sit in pews, some who don't and claim to be atheists. But make no mistake about it, God and His truth are on trial. And they always have been. It's nothing new about our world today. Generations come and generations go. And as the world spins forward, God is always on trial by fallen man. And His truth is always on trial by fallen man. But the people of God do not join in with this. We do not join in with putting God on trial. The people of God understand that God is pure and perfect and righteous in all of His ways. And we fear even getting near the idea of questioning God. We fear even mistakenly suggesting that we should somehow test the truth of His word. We fear getting near that. God's people do. We see the fallen ways of men, and we see the wicked of this earth pointing their finger at God Almighty, questioning His truth, rejecting His goodness, and we can only tremble. Now, if you're like me, you can recall those days when you used to shake your finger at God as well. When you used to think that your own thinking was sufficient, like the Humanist Manifesto teaches us, that it is man alone who is in charge of his destiny. There are putrid ideas that flow from the pits of hell, and they're very simple in their origin, and that is that God is not the ultimate authority. That's where it all starts. It all starts with the belief that God is not the ultimate authority. And that comes in various different flavors and sizes. The most obvious is Satan shaking his fist in God's face before he was cast down from heaven. Almost as obvious is Eve and Adam being tricked into eating the fruit. You see, this lie comes in various shapes and sizes. I would say that it's likely that each one of us have taken a bite of that lie in some form in our own lives. In what way do you put God in the dock? To quote C.S. Lewis. What kind of evidence do you place before God? What kind of evidence has influenced you to be tempted to try to defend God? Maybe you're not actively putting Him on trial, but perhaps you've been tricked into feeling the need to defend Him as if His word and His creation cannot speak for itself. No, we do not defend God. We speak His truth. We submit to His truth. We live His truth. All knowledge and truth is bound up in our Heavenly Father. And we receive it from Him humbly as the only way that we can know truth. And we reject all forms, even though we admit that we've probably been tricked by it. And we pray that He will show us and open our eyes. See, we've been pickled in this, right? We've come up in a culture that hates God and His ways. We've come up, we've been trained. Who here went to government schools? Let me see your hands. Okay, so we're all a bunch of recovering government school junkies, pretty much. Okay, let me tell you what we were taught. I don't care what state you were from. I don't care how many good Christians there were in your school. Okay, now perhaps some of you are old enough to maybe you've had some prayers in your government school when you were coming up. Okay, things have changed, and I confess that. But the system is the same, and that is this. God doesn't matter in education. God doesn't matter in philosophy. God doesn't matter in mathematics. God doesn't matter in the study of